Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we have a very specific mission, really, and it's tailored just for you. We are building the blueprint for setting up your very first liquidity provider position on a DX.
Yeah.
And forget all the high risk, you know, high reward stuff you see online. This deep dive is about structure, safety, and learning as much as you can while risking as little as possible.
Exactly. Your first step into providing liquidity shouldn't feel like, you know, a trip to the casino. It should be more like an academic exercise.
Yeah, a lab experiment.
A lab experiment, yeah. It's all about risk management and just getting the mechanics down. The compiled research breaks this all down into four phases, and we're going to make sure you start simple, specifically on Uniswap V2.
Okay, V2. We'll get to why that's important later. But before we unpack any phases, we have to talk about the elephant in the room. The thing that defines almost all the risk of LPing. Impermanent loss. We hear the term all the time, but what exactly are we trying to avoid here?
That is absolutely where we have to start. Impermanent loss, or IL, is it's the central challenge of being an LP. Put simply, it's the opportunity cost. It's what you lose by providing liquidity compared to if you had just held those same two assets in your wallet.
Okay, so it's not a real loss in dollars necessarily. It's a loss relative to just holding.
Exactly. If the price of one token in your pair, let's say ETHL, shoots up, the DAX formula automatically forces you to sell some of that rising ether for the other, more stable token to keep that 50-50 value ratio.
So you end up with less of the asset that did really well. You might still be in profit overall, but you would have made more profit if you just held.
Precisely. And that's the whole game. The goal of successful LPing is to generate enough in trading fees to make up for that potential loss. Fees have to be greater than IL.
Got it. And that leads us to the checklist. The sources say you absolutely must meet these prerequisites before you even think about depositing.
Non-negotiable. First, you have to understand IL, what we just talked about. Second, you need a way to estimate your fees versus that potential IL. Okay. Third, you've chosen a low-risk pair. We'll cover that. Fourth, your funds are already on a Layer 2 network to avoid insane gas costs.
And the last one.
And this is the one people always forget. You must know exactly how to withdraw your funds, practice it on a testnet first. You don't want to be fumbling around in a panic when you need your money back.
That makes so much sense. We're using this first position as a low-cost live simulation. So let's start with phase one, selection. For a beginner, picking the right pair is, what, like 90% of the battle?
I'd say it is, yeah. Huh. If you choose poorly here, no amount of skill is going to save you. The research points to three clear tiers of risk.
Okay.
Tier one, this is the sweet spot for beginners, stablecoin pairs. We're talking USDC paired with USDT or DAI with USDC.
Because they're all pegged to the dollar, so they shouldn't move much against each other?
Correct. That directly attacks the IL problem at its source. Since the price ratio barely shifts, your impermanent loss is minimal. We're talking like less than 0.1%.
These fees are probably lower though, right?
They are lower, but that's okay. This is your classroom. You're here to learn the mechanics of depositing, withdrawing, and tracking fees without the stress of volatility.
Makes sense. Okay, so once you've mastered that, what's tier two?
Tier two is where you introduce a little bit of controlled volatility. We call them correlated pairs.
So things that tend to move together.
Exactly. Think wrapped staked Ethereum versus native Ethereum, so stethith, or maybe wrapped Bitcoin and Ethereum.
WBTCth.
Right. While they're both volatile against the dollar, their prices generally move in the same direction. They're highly correlated. This keeps the ratio between them pretty stable, which means your IL is much more manageable.
So you get to see how IL actually works in the wild, but without getting totally wrecked.
That's the idea. And then there's tier three. This is where the temptation is, but also where the risk really ramps up for a beginner.
And this would be the blue chip pairs.
Yep. ETH is DC, BTC USDC. These are highly uncorrelated assets. When Ether moves, the dollar doesn't. This creates a huge potential for divergence, and that means the IL curve can get steep and painful very quickly.
But the fees are higher there.
The fees are much higher because the trading volume is massive. But these pools require active management. They're not for your first time out.
And we should probably just scream this from the rooftops for this first experience. Avoid meme coins, new tokens, anything with low liquidity. Just stay away.
Absolutely. To lock in your choice, you just need to ask yourself four questions.
Okay, what are they?
First, what's the historical volatility? More volatility means more IL risk. Second, what's the correlation? Higher correlation, lower IO.
We've covered those. What's number three?
What's the trading volume? This is key. More volume means more fees for you. And finally, fourth, what's the liquidity depth? Deeper pools are safer because big trades don't swing the price around as much.
Okay, a question on that. How does a beginner find that data? Do you need to be some kind of data scientist?
No, not at all. The sources point to really simple tools. You can use analytics dashboards on sites like DeFi Llama, or even just look at the analytics page on Uniswap itself. You don't have to calculate it, you just have to look at it.
Perfect. That leads us right into the logistics. We've chosen our safe pair. Now, how do we pay for all this without the fees just eating us alive? This is phase two, network choice and position sizing.
This is the gas trap. And it's exactly why layer two solutions are, they're non-negotiable for anyone starting out with a small position.
Frame the difference for us. How bad is it on mainnet?
Okay, think of the Ethereum mainnet, or L1, as, I don't know, the VIP section. The security is top-notch, but the cover charge, the gas fee, can be $50, $100, even $200 for a single transaction.
I remember my first L1 transaction years ago. I think I spent $80 in gas just to deposit a couple hundred bucks. That lesson, it hurts.
It does. And it's a mathematical certainty that L1 is just not viable for learning. Unless you're deploying, say, $50,000 or more, the gas fees will eat any profit you could possibly make.
So we have to use layer twos.
Yes. Layer two solutions are built on top of Ethereum. They get its security, but they handle the transactions off-chain, which makes them way, way cheaper. We're talking 10 cents to maybe a dollar per transaction.
And that makes a $100 position actually make sense.
It makes it viable, yeah.
So which L2s are the go-to right now?
For a first-timer, the research is pretty clear. Start on Arbitrum or Optimism. Arbitrum has tons of liquidity, and transactions are like 20 cents.
Yeah.
Optimism is maybe a little cheaper, around 15 cents.
And Polygon.
Polygon is also great, even cheaper sometimes. But Arbitrum and Optimism tend to have the deepest, most active pools for the pairs a beginner should be using.
Network chosen. Now sizing. The 1% rule. We have to hammer this home.
Never, ever risk more than 1% to 5% of your total portfolio on this first experiment. I mean it. If you have $10,000 in your crypto portfolio, your absolute max for this LP position is $500.
It's tuition money.
It is tuition money. It's designed so you can make mistakes and not get wiped out. And just to drive the point home, a viable position on L2 can be a couple hundred dollars. On L1, the minimum is probably closer to $25,000 just to have a prayer of overcoming the gas costs.
The difference is just staggering.
It is.
Yes.
And you have to budget for it. The real formula isn't just your portfolio times your risk percentage. It has to include gas.
Okay, what's the formula?
It's your position size equals your portfolio times risk percentage, minus your estimated gas cost times the number of transactions you expect to make.
Ah, so you have to budget for the deposit, the withdrawal, and maybe a few other transactions in between.
Exactly. Forgetting that is mistake number one.
All right, let's move into phase three, setup and execution. We're going to use the simplicity of Uniswap D2. Walk us through it.
Okay, first the basics. Get your wallet set up, securely install MetaMask, add your L2 network. You can just Google the chain ID, like Arbitrum is 42161.
And a crucial security tip here.
Use a separate wallet. A hot wallet just for your DeFi activity, separate from your main cold storage.
Yeah.
It just compartmentalizes the risk.
So smart. Okay, wallet's ready.
Now you bridge your funds to the L2. And please, only use the official bridge for that network. Don't use some random third-party one. Once your funds are on the L2, you head over to the Uniswap V2 interface.
Okay, hold on. Why V2? I mean, V3 is out. It's more efficient. Aren't we teaching ourselves old habits by starting on V2?
That's a great question and a really critical point. V3 is more efficient, but it adds a whole layer of complexity with concentrated liquidity and range selection.
You have to pick a price range where you think the asset will trade.
And if it goes outside that range, you stop earning fees. For a beginner, V2 is the perfect mechanical sandbox because it's simpler. It's set it and forget it.
Because V2 uses the full range, zero to infinity.
Exactly. You don't have to be a market analyst. You pick your stablecoin pair, you type in, say, 500 USDC, and V2 instantly calculates that you need the equivalent value of USDT. It does the math for you.
Okay, that visualization helps. So let's do the quick step-by-step execution.
All right. Step one, you'll almost always have to do this the first time. Approve tokens. You have to give the smart contract permission to spend your USDC and then your USDT.
A quick gas saving tip here.
Yeah, approve them one after the other. Do both transactions in one session to save a little time and mental energy.
Approval's done. What's next?
Step two, add liquidity. You input the amounts, you review your share of the pool, check the gas estimate, and hit confirm. Once that transaction goes through, the contract mints your proof of ownership.
And on V2, that proof comes in the form of what?
LP tokens. They're just standard ERC-20 tokens that represent your share of the pool. Keep them safe. They are your key to getting your money back, plus any fees you've earned.
Which brings us perfectly to phase 4, the management protocol. The sources really stress this. Setting up your monitoring system is more important than the deposit itself.
It really is. This is what separates successful LPs from people who just, you know, throw money at something and hope. Mm-hmm. You have to be systematic.
So what are we tracking?
On a daily basis, just a quick check. Current pool price,
mm-hmm.
the value of your LP tokens, fees earned. The real work happens weekly.
Okay.
Every 7 days, you have to do the comparison, calculate the total value of your position, and then compare that to what you'd have if you had just held the original tokens. That difference is your impermanent loss.
So this means we need a plan before we deposit, the pre-deposit planning worksheet.
Absolutely. You have to forecast your potential net return for a month. That formula is monthly fees minus your projected monthly IL, minus your monthly gas costs.
And again, you have to include gas for everything, deposit, withdrawal, all of it.
All of it. And then you ask the big question.
Is this number positive?
Is this number positive? If your projected fees don't beat your projected IL plus gas, you shouldn't be in that pool, period.
It forces discipline. Now, the sources mention an advanced tip for vetting pools, the volume to TVL ratio.
Right. TVL is total value lock, so all the money in the pool.
Yeah.
This ratio is basically your capital efficiency meter. It tells you how hard your money is working.
How do you calculate it?
You just divide the daily trading volume by the total value locked.
So give us the benchmarks. What's a good number?
A ratio over 0.5 is excellent. It means for every dollar in the pool, 50 cents are being traded every day, high fees.
And bad.
Anything under 0.1 is poor. It might be a safe pool, but your capital is just sitting there dormant, not earning much.
Okay, last critical piece of management, when to get out. We need rules for the off-ramp so emotions don't take over.
You have to stick to the rules from your worksheet. The good reasons to withdraw are all based on logic.
Such as?
IL is consistently higher than your fees, meaning you're losing money. Or you've found a better opportunity elsewhere. Or, you know, you just need the capital.
Right, and what are the bad reasons?
Panic selling because of a temporary price dip. Or FOMOing into some other new shiny thing. LPing is about patient fee accumulation. If you follow the plan, you avoid those mistakes.
That was the full blueprint, an incredible walkthrough. Let's review the core takeaways, the shortcut for everyone listening. One, start with stablecoins on an L2 like Arbitrum or Optimism. It's the safest sandbox. Two, use Uniswap V2 for its simplicity. Don't worry about ranges yet. Three, risk only 1% to 5% of your portfolio. Treat this as your education fund. And four, the most important, calculate your projected net return fees versus IL versus gas before you deposit, and then track it every single week.
The goal here isn't to get rich, it's to get smart. The sources all agree that the experience you gain from this first position is worth way more than the few dollars in fees you'll earn. It's your training for what comes next. So with that in mind, that this is purely about education, here's the final provocative thought for you to take away. How will you personally define when your learning in V2 is complete? What specific objective metric? Maybe it's a full month of positive net return or finding a pool with a great volume TVL ratio. What will be your signal that you're ready to graduate to the increased efficiency and complexity of Uniswap V3?